أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الصلاة والسلام على محمد وعليه الطيبين الطاهرين. We've been looking at تربية أولاد, the upbringing of children. And I'd like to divide that into three sections as taught by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You have the first stage of a child's life, which is between the years of 0 to 7 or birth to 7 years, which we are told represents lordship, or in other words, where a child learns through play, not by instruction, where a child is to be nurtured into a way where he feels or she feels that she is the master. And this is the developing of the self-esteem in the child, which we will look at. The second stage is between the ages of 7 and 14, which is known as obudiya, or where a child learns by instruction. Now here there is a teaching the child time management, teaching the child all sorts of things through instructions. And finally you have 14 to 21, where a child is a wazir, or a child is a ambassador of what he or she has been taught. And after 21, they're adults. Very hard to change. Mark what I say, not impossible to change, but very hard to change. So let's start with a baby that is born. Remember, when a child is born, we talked about it, where one of the recommendations is to recite adhan in the right ear and ikama in the left ear. And one of the things we say in adhan is Hayya ala al-falah, hurry to success. Therefore, the father has told the child that the house that you come into is a house where you will find success. And remember, these are the people whom the child trusts. They are his whole world. They are her whole world. And therefore, whatever the parents will do from then is ingrained in the child's mind as the concept of success. If he or she hears words, whatever they are, whether it is television in the background and mom and dad feel secure there, he or she, the baby, will think that is success. If they hear arguments, whatever they hear, to a child, it has been ingrained that this is a house of success. We tell the child, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, in this house I bear witness that there is no God but Allah. Anything that the parents will do, anything that the environment will do for the child, that will be Allah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, I bear witness that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. We follow his footsteps. Anything that the household will do will be ingrained in the child as the footsteps of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Therefore, it is very, very important. This stage is crucial to the child, as Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, that it is like writing on stone when you teach a child. You know, when you scratch a branch of a tree, you only scratch the branch. When you scratch a seed, you affect the growth of the whole tree. Now, when a baby is born, for the baby, it's a big we. There is no separation. Mom and me, that's a big we. The baby doesn't look as I and you. It's only at about 6 months, and you will find at 6 months a baby will recognize its hands and feet, will discover them. And suddenly the baby discovers a boundary. It's not a big we anymore. It's me and mom. It's a differentiation. Now there is a little bit of an I. Now let me go a little bit behind first. The first stimulation that a baby requires to be able to make sure that this baby grows up with self-esteem is the stimulation of touch. It's very, very important to hold a baby. You know, let me go back to a hadith that you may have heard. It is said that Umm Ayman, who looked after Imam Hussain alayhi salam, gave Imam Hussain alayhi salam to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the infant Hussain had wet himself, and Umm Ayman took the baby back quickly. And Rasulullah said, no. He said, I can go and make myself park, but do not let the baby cry. Do not let Hussain cry. There's psychologist called Mary Ainsworth. She died in 1999. I think she was born in the early 1910 or 1913. She did a survey on moms and babies, and she found that moms who responded to their babies every time their baby cried, the children grew up to be happier, more confident, much more human beings with a greater self-esteem. She found mothers who were erratic in their response to their children. That means sometimes they picked them up, sometimes they didn't, sometimes they let them cry. They found that those children grew up to be erratic in their behavior as human beings. And finally, she found that moms who didn't respond to their children at all, who allowed them to cry, who let them go, which seems to be the fashion these days, put them in bed at 8 o'clock and close the door and let them cry, she found that these babies were listless, they lacked empathy. You know, they didn't respond to things. Now, you can never, ever spoil a baby. A young infant cannot be spoiled. An infant is there to be cared for, to be nurtured. Remember, the stronger the touch, the stronger the loving at a younger age, the greater the stimulation to the brain, to everything else. You know, you find in African communities where babies are tied to the mom. You very rarely hear babies screaming and crying. You very rarely hear colicky babies or all these other excuses we have. So the first stimulation to a child is the stimulus of touch. And whilst you're holding your baby, continuously recite the wonderful Asma'ul Husna. Continually recite the Quran so it becomes second nature to the baby. It's so important. This child is an amazing enigma. A child is an amazing enigma. And a child adapts very, very quickly. You know, a child, whatever part of the world he's born in, he's endowed with the ability to adapt. He's endowed with infinite possibilities. He or she is happy whether he or she lives in the igloos of Antarctica or in the sand dunes of Arabia. That's what a child is. And what you get the child used to, that's how the child's gonna develop. Now, the idea is to make this child have interdependent skills. What does that mean? Either we make a child dependent totally on its parents, whereby the child does nothing. You find children who are even fed when they're 4 or 5. Mom will do absolutely everything for them, and they find it very, very difficult to do anything for themselves. Mom also speaks for the child. You will find children who are totally independent, where they're completely left alone and parents don't care which way they go. We need an interdependency where the child is learning to be dependent and independent. It's a fine balance. Now, that happens with the developing of self-esteem. Let me first explain what self-esteem is. Self-esteem consists of two components. One of them is basic worth, which means that the child is able to say, as adults we need it too, but let me go, because we're talking about children. The child is able to say, I am happy with who I am. You know, it's not because you say I should be this, and that's why I'm happy with who I am. But I'm happy being a Muslim. I'm happy being who I am. I am at ease. I am at peace with it. And the second one is competence, which is being able to see to our own needs and the needs of others. These two are very important. Like I said, the first stimulation for self-esteem is touch. The second stimulation is words. And I've talked about reciting the Quran, reciting good words, using in our languages words like inshallah, mashallah, alhamdulillah, subhanallah, all the time. Everything starts with speech. I'll give you an example, and I've mentioned it many, many times. The advertising industry is very, very efficient in the West. If I mentioned the brand name Hoover, for example, they did such a great job with their advertising that today, even if we buy other makes, We still don't say let's vacuum the carpets, we say let's hoover the carpets. When a child learns a language, the words that are inspired in him from childhood, a child never ever forgets. You know, my grandma, she was such an amazing woman. Every time she was tired or something was hurting, she would say, "Oh my Malik, I thank you 1,000,000,000 times. In fact, she used to say, "I thank you hundreds and thousands of times." And I remember as a child, not understanding what she was saying, but thinking that every time you're tired, you have to say, "Oh Malik, I thank you 1,000,000,000 times. When I understood this, it still became a habit. And I used to say it again in the language she spoke, which was a dialect of the Indian language. And my children, who didn't understand it at all, again do the same thing. When they're very tired and they're finding it very difficult and they crawl in from school and they flop onto the settee, they say, "Oh Malik," not understanding what they're saying, 1,000,000,000 shukr. See the difference it makes in our lives. Something small that is said, it perpetuates. If we only change the little words in our lives, you know, I hear people when they're trying to swear decently, they say, "Jesus Christ," or "For Christ's sake." I've got nothing against Prophet Isa alayhi salam, a wonderful prophet of ours. But why can't we say Ya Rabbi? Why can't we use those sort of words that will change the lives, not of only of ourselves, but those of our children too? So we've looked at two aspects of building the self-esteem. One is looking at the aspect of touch, and the second is using words. Inshallah, we will continue with this. And remember, what we're looking at also is developing a multisensory being. A human being, a child that not only looks at life with the five senses, but with a sixth sense, a spiritual sense.